And we're going to be looking at Exodus 24. We'll actually start in chapter 34 because we're going to cover those 11 chapters. Exodus 24, but we'll start in Exodus 34. And I wanted to take a moment. Jesus said that there are people that are hearing but not hearing. And there are people that are seeing but not seeing. And that's an odd idea unless you know exactly what he's saying. That sometimes we have the capacity to hear sounds and stuff, but it doesn't mean that we comprehend. Sometimes we have the ability to see things around us, but it doesn't mean that we understand the things that are around us. And it's very easy in our world to get distracted from the Lord, whether it's that you're too cold right now, so you can't focus on the word, or you're too hot, or the person sitting next to you doesn't smell too good. Don't look right now. They'll think you're talking about them. Or you just got a lot of things to do today, and there's things on your mind, or your back's bothering you, or your neck's bothering you, or you've just been working hard, and the spirit of slumber begins to come on you all of a sudden for some reason, and you're tempted to start dozing. There are all kinds of reasons to get distracted from what the Lord wants to speak into our lives. And we sometimes have to be pushy, to push in and to ask, Lord, help us to stay focused on what you have. It could be that you're looking at this ugly face and you have some issues with me. Then we'll pray through that as well. But would you join me in praying and asking the Lord to open our eyes? Lord, we ask and we come to you humbly admitting that we cannot receive unless you open our hearts and minds. We cannot comprehend unless you open our ears and our eyes to see. And Lord, we have burdens and issues and weaknesses and things that hinder our pursuit of you. But I ask, Lord, that you would in this moment begin to break through all the things that seem to hinder us from connecting to you in a powerful way. And that you would allow us to hear and receive from your word and to receive the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, and that you would help us to find greater depth of intimacy with you. Lord, reveal your glory to us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So Exodus 34 is where we'll begin. We've been following Moses. And the other day, I was trying to get, I have a charger cord to my laptop that's really long, and I do that so that I can sit anywhere from an outlet. And so I was getting ready to plug my charge cord, and it was on the floor, so I bent down on the floor to try to move it to the port, and I'm pulling, and it's not moving. It's resisting me. I'm pulling. What's holding this thing back? And I'm trying to get it to move. And finally, I turn to look behind me, and all of a sudden, it starts coming because I realize my foot shifted, and I was holding it down with my foot while trying to pull it with my arm. And so I was the one creating the resistance. And the sad thing is that's not the first time I've done that. Like, what is holding this back? And I don't, have anybody ever done that before? Like, you realize I'm the one that's holding this thing back? Okay, and we sometimes are wrestling with things in life, and sometimes it's not our fault. It's not on us. But there's times that we're struggling through things, and we're partly holding it back. We're trying to move things forward with our hands while holding it back with our foot. And I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but are you ever tired of fighting? You ever just feel, I'm just tired of the struggle, tired of the arguing, I'm tired of dealing with the stuff, I'm just tired of it. Whether it's your family, anybody ever feel tired about your family, tired with family? Don't raise your hand if your family's here, okay? Just feel, I saw that hand, John, I saw that. But just tired of the arguing, tired of the lack of peace, tired of the struggle and just not understanding. And or maybe it's at work, at your job. Do you ever feel frustrated at work? Just like, I don't know what to do, like the boss keeps getting upset, or he keeps getting on me, or other people are just agitated all the time, or I just don't like them, and it's just the workplace isn't going well, or our health. Our bodies just don't feel good, and we're trying, we're going to the doctors, we're taking things, trying to eat better, and we're trying to resolve the issues in our bodies. It's just a struggle to feel okay, Do you ever wake up in the morning and you think, I don't even want to sit up yet because I just feel like if I sit up, it's not going to feel good. And then you sit up and my kids laugh because sometimes I make noises when I move. You guys do that? You make noises when you move? Okay, just, oh. Just, you're feeling every inch of the step you just took forward, right? Okay, or these wacky emotions of ours. We're like, why did I get so angry again? Why am I so anxious and nervous? Why do I feel so sad? What's going on? I'm glad one minute, and I'm sad the next. And just, it's a struggle to feel okay. Or sometimes it's nothing. No feeling at all. Don't feel happy. Don't feel sad. Just numb. I just don't care anymore. Have you ever been there before? Just apathetic. No feeling whatsoever. How do we break through that? How do we get to a place where we're not the kind of person that just keeps getting sucked into the depths of despair, the lows that our culture and our surroundings and all of our circumstances bring? Well, Moses and the Israelites in Exodus 34, and I'm going to jump around, but you're welcome to look there. This is what Moses landed on at some point. And we read this passage earlier. In Exodus 34, verse 6 and 8, it says, the Lord passed before him. Now, just think about that for a moment. The Lord passed before him, okay? The Lord is there, and then the Lord is declaring out loud, the Lord, of God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generations. And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. God showed up in a powerful way. And then God said this in Exodus 34:10. And he said, behold, I am making a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels such as have not been created in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. And so God starts telling you, get ready. I'm going to do awesome things. I'm going to do many amazing things for you, through you. And then verse 29, it says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Think about that. He got so close. He had such an encounter with God that his skin began shining. And he was also, he was with God experiencing him. This powerful move that was happening in his life at this moment. And how did he get there? How did Moses land in this moment where God's declaring things, God's getting ready to work in his life and do amazing things, and he is having such powerful intimacy with God? How did Moses land in this space? Well, that's the reason why I started at 34, because 24 on up is going to tell us what they were doing before he had this experience. And I want you to know today that through what we're going to see with Moses, that with this help of Scripture, I'm going to explain to you how you're going to have a breakthrough with the Lord. Not how you might, but how you are going to have a breakthrough with the Lord. But it all depends upon us and whether or not we're going to act upon the things that he teaches us. But breakthrough in your family, breakthrough in your at your job, breakthrough with your health. I want you to know that God wants you to have a breakthrough, and you will, if we walk in what he is going to show us. But we can't just walk in what he shows us today, because we've already been through a few steps in this journey, all right? The first step is this wrestling with his will. I don't want to do what he wants me to do sometimes, right? You ever feel like that? I don't want to do that. I don't want to witness to that person. I don't want to be kind to that person. I don't want to spend time in prayer right now. I'm too tired. I don't always want to do what God wants us to do, but we have to learn to wrestle with his will, and the wrestling isn't faking it and saying, yeah, God, I actually do want all these things when we don't in our heart. The wrestle is to say what we want and to express where we are, and then to hear what he has to say to us and then yield to that will. And then the second step that we've taken is that we have to learn how to deal with obstacles. Did you know there's going to be obstacles for you? If you decide that you're going to see transformation in your family, there's going to be obstacles. If you decide that you're going to see transformation in this church or in this neighborhood, there are going to be obstacles. Some will be external, some will be internal. I don't know if you've ever decided that you're going to take a step forward and you're going to spend more time praying or more time studying His Word. When that happens, that's the time when all of a sudden my back got thrown out. And I'm not feeling it anymore. Or the car broke down and I got this headache of things to deal with. It's amazing how when we decide to take a step forward, all kinds of obstacles show up. Or people are upset with me and mad at me and all of that stuff is happening. And if we don't know how to handle that, that will always happen and we will never move forward. We have to learn how to handle those obstacles. And then the third step we took last week is I have to invest in my faith in Jesus Christ. I can't just, have you ever tried sleeping on your Bible at night and assuming you'll just absorb it? Just kind of just suck right in and you'll just know what it says and you get all the results of that, you know? Or like you spend time praying and like, well, if I fall asleep, I'm sure that counts. And so you pray for like 30 seconds and then you're asleep and you're thinking, well, you know, I'm sure I prayed all night, all right? And that's not how it works. We have to invest in our faith. But this morning, our next step is going to see how Moses landed on the experience that we just described. Some of you know this, and maybe some of you don't. I have a unique family. It has been pieced together in an unusual way, and it has an unusual blend. And I don't share everything that's a part of how that was made up. And sometimes I don't know if you guys realize how much burden there is and how much struggle and heartache there is in the household. And it weighs on me from someone who grew up in turmoil and then to have no turmoil for a while and then all of that back again. It tears me apart sometimes. And it affects me. And sometimes I fall apart. It happens within the family, it happens within this church. It affects me. We've had times of highs and lows. We've had times where we got added gifts and more people and excitement, and things are happening. And then we have time where people quit on different things and that thing, and we shrink some and all of that stuff. And sometimes there's a lot of energy in a room, and sometimes there's not. Sometimes people love me, sometimes they hate me. You know, and sometimes I'm doing everything right, which doesn't really happen all that often. Sometimes I'm doing everything wrong, and I don't know if you know this, but this is what I think about most of the time, is the health of this church. And it tears me apart, and it weighs upon me, and it's a heavy burden. And sometimes I feel insecure, and sometimes I feel broken. Sometimes I feel like walking away. Do you ever feel like walking away from the things in your life? And sometimes I feel distant from God. But over the past few weeks, you know how it's weird how the Lord has to remind us of things that we knew for a long time. Do you ever have things like that? Like, I knew that, but for some reason I wasn't walking in that. And we're going to see in a moment that there's a difference between one person spending an hour in prayer and another person. For some reason, one person will spend an hour in prayer and walk out and God begins to do amazing things. And another person, they spend an hour in prayer and nothing at all. And there's a reason why that happens between those two individuals. And I've been praying I've been praying for my whole walk with the Lord, but over the past 4 weeks, the Lord's been doing something in my life. And one of the things that's been focused, well, too, is this church and my family. And I've been walking through some of the things that Moses does here, though they're parallel. They're not the exact same things. I didn't part the Ohio River. I tried. It didn't work. Just kept flowing, you know. But I've been praying through and working through and talking through different things. And we talked about this in that back room earlier. Do you know where revival starts? Now, Elmer, don't answer. You already gave the answer. Do you know where revival starts? It starts in Brownsville, Florida. You know where revival starts? On K-Love. or the Asbury College in Kentucky. That's where revival starts. Do you know where revival starts? I see that motion, Diane. I want you to point at your heart. Don't point at somebody else's. Revival starts right inside of me. That's where it starts. The move of God starts right within my heart. And so I began to pray and search and just agonizing. And Lord, we need peace in our household. And I began to pray for that. And you know what's irritating about God? You know what's irritating about Him? Is even if it's not mostly you, you know what God usually wants to bring up when we start praying, God, move and do something? You know what He does? He says, you know this one thing that you do? That's part of the reason why the peace isn't there. He likes to point those things out, and we sometimes like to respond to that and say, you're so mean, God. I came here for uplifting, positive, encouraging K-love, you know? I came here to be uplifted and encouraged. I didn't come to be put down. Why are you telling me this? I wanted to know how you were going to fix them. And for some reason, He points the finger at us. And the reason is because you can't control them. That guy at work, your neighbor, the person sitting next to you, the people in your household, you can't control them. But you know who you can control? Me. Well, there is a word for that that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. What is it? Self-control. We have the capacity to control me. And as I've been praying and working and following the things that I'm learning myself from Moses, do you know that a little bit of peace has been surfacing in our home? And I've been seeing things where there's been times where things would happen, and I just want to lose it. Have you? I'm going to admit I lose it sometimes. Is that okay? You guys lose it sometimes? And I just lose it. And I've been having moments where usually in this moment I lose it, and we also lose a kid. You know, somehow the kid just died and disappeared somewhere. I don't know how that happened. No, I'm just kidding. We just downsized the family, you know. It wasn't that. All four kids are still there, and they're still crazy, and they're still doing what they're doing, and I am experiencing the peace of God come upon me and seeing something begin to transform. What's the difference? I was praying all the way up until that point. The difference is there can be one person walk into their room and spend an hour in prayer, and there can be another person go into a room and spend an hour in prayer. This person comes out and God's doing amazing things. This person comes out, nothing. Nothing has happened. Do you ever feel like that? Prayed, nothing. And the reason is because I don't think that many of us actually know how to experience God. We know He's there. We know about Him. We do talk to Him. We might even worship Him and serve Him in different ways. But I don't know if we truly know how to experience God. And we might say, but I've tried to experience God. And I want to suggest that it's possible that maybe you haven't actually tried to experience God quite in the way that we're going to look at today. Maybe you've spent time and you've prayed and you know, Pastor Danny, the story you just shared, I've been through that and I did that and nothing happened for me. Okay? And so you've prayed, you've fasted, you spent a lot of time praying and didn't see anything come of it. Or you've gone to church and you've gone to church faithfully, or you've studied the Bible and you lived according to what the Scripture teaches, or you got involved in ministry, you did different things, but nothing happened. And all those things are good and all those things we need to do. But for some reason, one person can spend time praying, studying His Word, living for Him, being involved in Christian fellowship in the body of Christ, and serve in ministry, and another person can do the same, and this person, God's working mightily in their lives, and this person, nothing. What's the difference? It's not the amount of prayer time. It's not that they're not completing the list. Some of us don't know how to experience God, and He's going to show us this today. Don't you want a breakthrough? He's going to show us how to find this breakthrough with the Lord if we know how to experience God. Now, Exodus 24. So Exodus 34 is where we landed on what Moses experienced. But Exodus 24 and up to that point is what Moses and God were doing before they ended up having that experience. So Exodus 24, verse 18, Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Now, we need quantity time and we need quality time with the Lord. Have you ever heard that with family relationships or even marriage relationships, quantity and quality? Now, in order to have the quality, we have to have the quantity. I can't have quality time if I'm not spending any time with them or if I'm not spending enough time. Have you ever decided you're going to connect with your kids today, and you did, and today was a day that they didn't want bothered by anybody? Have you ever had that before? And you try to drag them along, but they're rolling their eyes the entire time because they weren't feeling it that day. And it's because we decide I'm going to give you this slice of time, okay? You got to feel it right now in these 5 minutes, okay? Because this is all the time I have for you, all right? And we do that with God sometimes, you know? We say, all right, Lord, I'm going to eat right now, so I'm going to spend some time, and I'll pray a prayer of blessing over my food, and then you have to move right now, God, because this is the space. This is the opportunity for you to move. It's right here. There's no other time for you right now. Or in the morning when we get ready to go to work and we decide, all right, I have 5 minutes. I'm ready early enough. I have 5 minutes to spend in prayer. And we think, God, you need to move right now in these 5 minutes, okay? I need a breakthrough right now because these are the only 5 minutes I have for you. And we wonder, why is God not moving in our lives? Because we're only giving him a sliver of time for him to be involved in our lives. And there has to be quantity. Moses spent, did you hear what that said? Moses spent 40 days seeking the Lord. This wasn't like 40 days of devotions. You know, 30 minutes in the morning, I'm going to spend some time praying, studying my Bible every day for 40 days. This wasn't that. This was nonstop 40 days passionately seeking the Lord. And some of us, we don't know how to experience God because we don't spend time with God or not sufficient time with God. But we can spend all the time in the world with the Lord. Yesterday, I was tired, and my family was tired, and I had some things that I just wanted to work on. They weren't really important, big task things. They were sit on the couch kind of things. But at one point, I noticed, and I was feeling guilty because Damon was over our house doing some work on our house. And I just thought, he must think that we just lay around on the couch all day long, all the time, what we must do. I don't know what pastor's talking about, saying he's got a busy schedule. I just saw him, and he's doing nothing. But anyway, I just noticed at one point that all six of us, of my family, was all together in that room. And it was fine at that moment, and we'd connect with each other. But I was just thinking how, like, we're all present with each other, but there ain't nothing happened between us, you know, unless a fight starts to break out. You know? Have you ever wondered with kids, like, how'd that fire start happening? I don't know. They were just sitting next to each other watching that, and all of a sudden their fists are flying. But we're just, there's nothing, no connection happening. Now, it was peaceful, which was great. I'll take that. But there wasn't connection happening. There wasn't quality. And some of us have a lot of quantity time with God, but we don't have quality. And the reason is because we don't realize something. When Moses went to experience God, do you know what he did? Let me read that again. Exodus 24, 18. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses went to where God was. Now, we might say, but that doesn't make sense because God is everywhere, which a lot of this story won't make sense if we hold on to that too much, because God, yes, is everywhere, but God isn't doing the same thing everywhere. He's not. God, because you know that, because that guy who spent an hour in prayer, nothing, and this guy spent an hour in prayer and power showed up. And it's the God, the same God was in both places, but he was doing something different in the one than he was in the other. And so we need to move into where he is, because so many times we're asking God to come into our lives, which is fine and that's good. But so many times we're saying, God, will you come with me to work, okay? Will you come with me to deal with this issue? I want to go to sleep right now. Will you just come and bless this? And we want God to bless our lives, and we're not stepping into where God is. And you know where God is? You know where God is? God is jamming right now to David's phone. You know where God is? And we've been talking about this. Jesus said, my Father is always working. You know where God is? Doing his work. And you want to know where to encounter God? Stepping into that space of doing his work. Because again, we're like, Lord, come here, come here, come here. We're always inviting him to come here instead of stepping into the cloud and up onto the mountain. Have you ever heard that phrase, on the mountaintop? I wonder if that didn't generate somewhere along the line from this story of Moses being up on the top of the mountain. But Moses went to where God was. And some of us are not experiencing God because we're not stepping into his will. We're not stepping into where he is and what he's doing and stepping into what's happening and how he's working. And if we want to experience the power of God, we have to spend quantity and quality. I have to spend, and this is why I pray, there's a reason why I prayed this, they're hearing and not hearing and seeing and not seeing. Because if you don't look with a spiritual eye, you won't see this. God is everywhere present, yes. But where is he moving? And what is he doing? And let me step into that. That is where he displays his power. Is in the middle of his will. Are you stepping into the cloud? Are you stepping up onto that mountain? Because for some reason, I'm spending an hour in prayer and nothing. That guy is getting a breakthrough because that guy is going where God is. Then, and this second one is a repeat from our first message, but it'll reiterate it. When Moses was up there spending 40 days seeking the Lord, you know what the Lord began to do? This was when he got the Ten Commandments. This is when God began to reveal the law to him. Part of the law that was quoted in I think chapter 24 is God calling Moses and the people of Israel to contribute to the work of the ministry. Whether it's financially or in the form of service, God was calling them to do, to act. And God was revealing to them his will for their lives. And here's what happens. We say, God, fix this. And you know what God will often say, like he did to me? He'll say, I will fix that. This is what I want you to do about it. And this is where some people lose their connection with the Lord and they're not experiencing the power of God in their lives is because I don't want to go out there and face that. No, I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to deal with it. I want you to fix it. I want to down this ice cream sundae every night. I want to change the way I eat. I want you to just bring me healing. I just get to receive it. And we take our prayer life that way a lot of times. God, I want you to fix this, resolve that. And God says, comes in and says, this is what I want you to do. And we don't walk in his will. And we don't see God display, because listen, me praying for peace in my family is not going to be what's going to bring it. That's going to be part of the equation. Me praying for peace in the family and then me bringing peace in the family and me leading peace in the family, that's what's going to bring it, but I have to walk in God's will. And so if you want to see a breakthrough in your life with God working powerfully in your life, we can't just stay in the prayer closet because some of us use our prayer closet as an excuse to hide from what God wants us to do. Instead, we have to receive what his will is for our lives and do it. And then, this is interesting. God, because while Moses is there, you know what was happening while Moses was there? The Israelites down below, as well as his brother Aaron, who was supposed to be leading them, who had just been involved in the Exodus out of Egypt, decided that they were going to make a golden calf to worship. You know what my favorite part of the story when Moses confronts Aaron? Aaron's excuse, you know what his excuse was? We threw gold in the fire and now popped this calf. Oh, how it happened, it just did. Okay? And they were doing idol worship down there. And you know what's interesting? You know what they were saying as to why they started moving in that direction? They were saying, where's Moses at? This is taking too long. Where is he? We need to move on with life. We've got things to do. And that's how some of us feel about seeking God. Did you know that? Moses is up there 40 days seeking God. And you know what the people of Israel were saying? Praying, and that's all great and all, but we got to get some stuff done, all right? And it even said on one of those things that they started to rise up and play. They wanted to get some of their fun done, too. We can't just sit around praying all the time. We got things to do. And so in order to move forward, they got out the calf, and they started worshiping a calf because they needed to stop enough of this praying, seeking God stuff. We have things to do. And so Moses and is praying to the Lord, and the Lord tells him, what's going on? And the Lord, you know what the Lord tells Moses? He says, I'm angry. Do you know God gets angry at times? I'm angry at them. And God says, Moses, why don't you just let me wipe them all out? And Moses disagreed with God. Now, there's a key right there. So many of us disagree with God, but we won't say it out loud to him. You know? And we're missing breakthroughs in that because we're just like playing the part and stuff instead of being real before him. But Moses said, no, you can't do that. And he tells him why. You made promises to these guys. You said you were going to bring them into the promised land. Think about how bad this is going to look on you if you don't deliver them up into the promised land. And so Moses argues with him. But here's the funny part of the story. Moses talks God out of getting angry. And then Moses comes down and sees what's happening, and he gets ticked off himself. He was just telling God, don't get mad at them. And this is the point where he throws the stone tablets down that God just wrote on with his finger and breaks them because he's angry. He's outraged at this. And I was trying to think, what was going on with that dynamic? Why? Because God knows everything. Why did God tell him, I want to annihilate them, and then allow Moses to talk him out of it, and then Moses gets mad? And listen, I don't know if it was wrong for him to throw those tablets down or not, but God led him on a rampage where they cut out people out of their midst that needed to be removed. You know who needed to be removed? The people who weren't for the Lord. And he confronted issues hard, and he dealt with things hard, and he resolved some things. And I was wondering, what was going on with this whole, I'm mad, no, don't be mad, now I'm mad. What was going on? Why was God saying that? If God didn't intend on slaying all of them, why did God suggest that? And I think it's because sometimes what happens is God knows what's going to happen, and he knows our emotions. And sometimes he tries to help us land in the right space. And I wonder if God wouldn't have had that conversation with him if Moses wouldn't have had any restraint on his anger, because he did. And I wonder if God wouldn't have had that conversation if maybe he would have fallen on the side of apathy and would have been fine with it. And it was through this conversation that Moses dealt with it mostly, again, I don't know about the tablets, the right way. And here's the thing. You have issues in your marriage? You pray to God and you ask him to do something in your marriage. You receive what his will is for your life and you walk in it. And then you go and you do something about the health of your marriage. You're having health issues? You pray and ask God to do financial issues. You pray and ask God to do something. And then you listen. Then you argue. Then you talk through things. And then you discover what his will is. And then you go face it. The person that you're having issues with, you pray to God. And then you go have a conversation with them. And it's through the prayer with the Lord that hopefully I have a productive conversation because I do this the right way. But too many of us, and listen, any of these four steps in here, if we're missing it, this is why we are not experiencing God working in our lives the way we want to, because something in this chain is missing. If I'm asking God to move and I'm living my life for him, but I'm not confronting the issues, we're not going to see the breakthrough. We just want God to take care of it for me. We don't want to have to figure out how to resolve this, but that's where it is. It's by walking in that. Joe and Sean, will you come and prepare to lead us? I asked them to get ready a little early for me. Lastly, you see, I pray and I seek him. And I study the scripture and I hear from him and I live according to his will. And then I deal with issues. And then things start to change at some point. God does start to work, and I start to see some issues get resolved, and some things start to take place, and I'm seeing it. God's moving. But here's the funny thing that happens, because this is, at this point, many people lose it as far as truly knowing the way God moves in their life and experiencing what we see in Exodus 34. Is at that point they think, everything's good now. And then they stop spending time seeking the Lord at that point. Because you think about it, when do we call on God the most? When everything's falling apart. God, get me out of this situation. I can't handle it. And we're praying passionately then. You know, we get laid off, or something goes wrong with our bank account and it's negative $2,000. Or someone's mad, or we go to the doctor and we get prescribed, they say we have cancer. And we're praying hard then. We're spending a lot of time. When we're driving, when we get up, when we're cleaning, everything we're doing, we're praying all the time then. But when God resolves our issues, where's God then? We're fine until everything's falling apart. And you know what's interesting? Moses spent 40 nights, 40 days on the mountaintop. He surrendered to God's will. He received it and surrendered to it. And then he went and confronted the issue. And you know where he ended back up again? Back up on the mountain. And we forget this cycle. We also forget because we think that God's not displaying his power in our lives when there's issues and complications and obstacles to overcome. No. If you follow the life of Moses, there were obstacles all the time. Jesus, obstacles all the time. Abraham, obstacles all the time. There were people that God was moving amazingly in their lives, but they had headaches. They had burdens. They had struggles. They had issues. But they knew how to do this. They sought the Lord, dealt with it, came back. Sought the Lord, surrendered, dealt with it, and came back. And you know what's interesting? Moses went back up to the mountain and spent 5 minutes saying, thank you, God, for that favor, and went back down. No. Think about this for a moment. Exodus 34, 28. Back in Exodus 24, 40 days seeking God. Deals with stuff in the valley. You know where he ends up again? Exodus 34, 28. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He's right back there again. Quality and quantity all over again. And it was sure quality. Because listen, I think some of us don't know how to talk to God. We know how to rattle off requests to him and ask him for favors. But I don't know if we know what to talk with him about. Because you know where Moses landed? He wanted to do God's will. He wanted to be faithful to God. But you know where he landed? Here's the conversation he had with God. God said, all right, we dealt with the issue. Go ahead and conquer the promised land. Have your victory. Go ahead and have your breakthrough. You know what God said? I'm not going with you, though. I'm not going with you. And some of us leave it at that. Some of us are like, yes, I got my breakthrough. I got my victory. I got the job. The finances are fine. I got the healing. I got this breakthrough, and I'm feeling good. And we walk out of the presence of the Lord feeling fine. God says, I'm not going with you on that. You know what Moses said? Then I'm not going. If you're not coming with me, I'm not going. And again, we might get hung up on, well, I thought God is everywhere. Yes, God's everywhere, but he's not doing the same thing everywhere. And Moses said, I'm not moving where you're not moving. I want you to come with me. You know what God said? All right, I'm coming. God yielded to him. He gave him what he asked for. And you know what Moses did? Moses said, that's great and all, but that's not good enough for me. Now, can you believe someone saying that to God? That's great and all, you're coming with me, but there's more to that than I want. You know what he said? He said, show me your glory. And you would think that God, I mean, think of that. If you gave a $20 bill to your kid and your kid said, that's not good enough, I want 40. What's going to be your response? Okay. But there is Moses saying, give me your presence. And God says, sure. And Moses says, no, wait. I want more. Show me your glory. And God gave it to him. And you would think that at this point, Moses would be satisfied now. But you know what his response was? That's great and all. Your glory, that's good. But that's not good enough. I want more than that, God. I want you to show me your face. Now, it is at this point that God showed some restraint because he didn't show him his face. But you know what he did do? He showed him his back. Now, I have no idea what that looks like. I don't really know exactly what that means as far as picturing it. God reserved some of that But he still gave him more after already asking for the glory. So I think sometimes it's like this. We ask God to show us his plan, and he says, all right, this is what you do tomorrow. We're like, no, I want the 5-year plan, God. Give me the 5-year plan, all right? Don't give me the 1-day plan. Give me the 5-year plan. And God says, all right, I'll give you a plan, but he's just giving us the 1-day plan, all right? And I think that's the face back thing sometimes. But some of us in this room, we don't know how to experience God because we show up asking God to do things and talking with him and things like that, which is all good and all great, but we don't get to the point where we walk through this cycle of I'm falling apart, there's a mess, there's issues that need to be dealt with. God, I'm seeking you, seeking you, seeking you. And then we listen and we receive his will and we walk in it. We receive what we're supposed to do and we walk in that. We deal with issues and then we come back and the landing spot, this is where the breakthrough is. The breakthrough is not your healing. That's just bonus. It's awesome when it comes. The breakthrough is not that the kids start behaving now and you stop losing your temper. That's not the breakthrough. That's bonus. The breakthrough isn't that you got a better job or you got a better paycheck. That's not the breakthrough. That's just bonus. You know what the breakthrough is? When all of a sudden we push through so much that the glory of God begins to show up and move in my life. And I'm dwelling in the cloud. I'm up on the mountain. I'm in the glory. That's where I am. Will you stand with me? But the question is, do you actually want your breakthrough? Do you want to receive God's power working in your life? You complain about it. You argue with him about it. You're struggling with it. You're pulling on a cord, trying to get that charger cord to the computer, and it's not moving. All the while, it's you that's holding it back. If we want to experience the power of God on our lives, we got to go where he is. That means I need to witness and share the gospel. That means I need to make disciples. I need to serve in ministry. That means I need to live for him and not for me. I need to study the word and seek his face. That's what I need to do. Live inside of his will. And I'm sure that there are some of you here today that you want that breakthrough badly. But if you want that breakthrough, you got to come into the cloud and onto the mountain. You can stay in your seat if you want to. You can stand there. Maybe you're good and God's doing great things in your life. Awesome. But if you truly want to see a breakthrough, then when the worship team leads us, come into the cloud, come up on the mountain, come where he is and experience the work of God. Come and seek him at this altar this morning and find your breakthrough. Look for him. It's peculiar that while the plagues were happening in Egypt, did you know that none of that was happening in the camp that the Israelites were in? Maybe it doesn't seem as miraculous that the gnats and the frogs and such didn't make their way over there. But did you know that when there was darkness over the face of the planet, so much so they couldn't see their hand in front of them, there was light in the camp of Israel. I don't know how in the world that happens, that there's darkness all around, but there's light right there in the camp of Israel. And it's important that we understand this. Everything else could be darkness around us. Everything else could be falling apart around us. But God's working powerfully in our lives. Sometimes we rely too much on feelings. We pray and we seek God and we didn't feel something. And so God must not be moving in our lives. And we miss the move of God. Because you know where the move of God is? All of a sudden, we get serious about this, and we find ourselves praying and spending time praying and seeking him. We find ourselves studying his word and living according to it. We find ourselves serving and ministering to others, and we find ourselves focusing on advancing the kingdom and making disciples and witnessing all those things. And you know what we start complaining about? Where are the feelings, God? Where are the miracles? And we miss the work of God. Because you know what the work of God was? Now there's a person that's been transformed.
That's right.
Now there's a person that's living according to God's will. The feelings, they're great. They're awesome when they come. But there's power in a completely transformed life. And you can have that. Do you know that? If we don't spend all our energy and all our focus on fixing our money problems and our bodies and our relationships. And listen, those are important. But this is where it is. Right in the center of God's will. And you don't need a lot of people for that. You don't need a lot of people for that. Moses had 12 people, and they went and turned the whole world upside down by being empowered by the Holy Spirit. You don't need a lot of people. You don't need a lot of resources. Peter James, that was with him? Silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give to you. They didn't have resources, but God did amazing things through them. And so you want to see transformation in your family and in your health and your finances? Then be transformed. That's the power of God. In this neighborhood all around us, they need to know that God could transform their lives. We're not going to make empty promises. They might still have family issues, health issues. They might not get healed. They might still struggle financially. But oh, the glorious moment when Moses walked down from the mountain. His skin was shining because he was transformed. Don't you want that? But we're not going to get it just sitting in here. You know that? We're going to get it by our Wednesday night group has been challenged each week to invite someone to church and invite someone to church. And God's doing something with that. We're not seeing the doors being broken down or anything, but God is working through that. Because there are people that are surrendering to his will for their lives. The individuals that are in the one-to-one team, they're having great encounters with other people and people are being touched. God is working through that. But the more we get mobilized and decide, all right, you know what, I'm not going to wait around for some Brownsville revival to happen. I'm not going to wait around for some other person to come and lead me to it. We need to walk in the Spirit. And do what he shows us to do. We are more than conquerors. We can thrive, you know that? But we have to do something. We have to connect with each other and with others. And we have to seek to help develop each other. They mean sometimes having hard conversations. That might mean saying, where have you been? What's going on? I don't know what's happening in your life. We might have to have hard conversations. But we're not going to have the breakthrough without pushing through it with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say? The Holy Spirit will come upon you in Acts 1:8 so that you will be able to lay on your couch and be comfortable. The Holy Spirit will come upon you so you can experience times of refreshing while listening to Caleb. No, the Holy Spirit will come upon you so that you will be my witnesses. He is in the center of his will. Where are you? So, Lord, we ask that you would help us to walk in that. And I've been expressing this myself to you privately. Forgive me, Lord, for the way I've lacked in my zeal and then my surrender to you. Forgive me, Lord, for not going all in. And I love, Lord, that your declaration to Moses was the Lord, good and gracious. Forgiving iniquity and sin for 1,000 generations. And I love that Moses lost his temper. That Moses came out of the mountaintop experience into a headache. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us to be able to not be thrown back by the trials and the circumstances and the challenges. And when things don't seem to be moving, help us not to be thrown off course. And when we fail and when we sin and when we're inadequate before you, help us to not just walk away from this, but help us to keep coming back to the mountain and keep coming back to the mountain. And I ask that, Lord, you would begin to give deposits of breakthroughs in their lives. You said that we won't know fully till we're in heaven, but now that the Lord gives us a deposit of the presence of the Holy Spirit for us. And so I ask that right now and throughout this week, you would begin to give a deposit into everyone's life here today as they attempt to seek you in various ways. Would you help them to see? Open their eyes. We just sang that. Open their eyes to see the ways that you're demonstrating your goodness and power in their lives. And we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. One last thing before we go. Sometimes we give up because we don't have any hope. We don't have hope that something's going to happen, that God's going to move. And we gain hope by seeing it. And so we have to start seeing the little things, the little victories, and get some hope so that we'll keep moving forward. Because if we give up, we're not going to get there. But we need to have hope. And he's worthy to believe in, isn't he not? Amen. So love you guys. God bless you. See you next week.